Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be breaking down everything that happened at Packers-Colts joint practices, injury reports, key plays, everything like that. Also, a pretty big rumor surrounding your Green Bay Packers, one that's completely unsubstantiated at this point in time, but we'll break down that as well nonetheless. I also wanted to just give you a rundown of everything we've got coming up here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. If you're not checking us out 365 days a year, you're doing it wrong. On Saturday, we're going to have a preview of Packers-Colts. We'll have a live pregame show right here on YouTube with yours truly. Following it, I will be doing a live postgame show as well. We're going to do a game recap for Sunday and then a members Q&A on Sunday as well. A great time to sign up to become a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member if you have not done so already. As far as that very large unsubstantiated rumor goes, let's get to that right now. According to Ricky, if you're not familiar with Ricky, Ricky is a, I don't even know how to define it. It's a social media / Twitter account that posts random rumors on Twitter. The most recent Packers one was that Rashid Walker was going to be, that they were working on an extension with Rashid Walker. That has not come to fruition at all. I still believe to this day, even if there was some truth or smoke there, it may have been Quay Walker that the contract extension was about and not Rashid Walker, but we'll have to kind of wait and see if any of those come to fruition. But he's actually been oddly accurate on a lot of things. And so it's why I don't just dismiss it entirely. There've definitely been some misses as well. Now, his tweet was basically saying that doesn't really expect Micah Parsons to get traded or Dallas to really do anything with him, but he does know that Green Bay has made a significant offer to the Dallas Cowboys for Micah Parsons. Who the heck knows? My guess is probably much ado about nothing and probably not worth spending a ton of time on. Even if Green Bay has the best offer out there, and even if Green Bay does have a real legitimate crazy offer, I still think Micah Parsons ends up a Dallas Cowboy, probably figures out some contract extension and kind of goes from there. And I don't think he ends up a Green Bay Packer. And that's if, which is a very big if that rumor is correct and they did make a significant offer. We've talked about in the past of what that offer would potentially look like. I think I threw around two first round picks, like a Kingsley Enagbare or a Brenton Cox, one of those, and like a fourth round pick, something in that regard. There were a couple other ones that I kind of threw out there as well, but it may even take more than that. These are always very difficult to sort of parse out, no pun intended. And with Micah Parsons, you're also going to have to give him that massive contract. So I don't want to spend too much time beleaguering a deal that we're 99.9% sure is never going to take place. Would be interesting though, to be a fly on the wall in Green Bay for some of those just conversations. As I said a while back, if Micah Parsons is in fact available, heck, even if there's a hint that he might be available, 31 teams should be discussing what they'd be willing to give up, trying to get information out of Dallas as to whether or not they would be willing to trade, what they're looking for, et cetera. Those conversations should be happening. So if Goody is in fact doing his due diligence, that's what you should do in this instance. He is far too talented of a player to just not do anything, meaning just sit on your hands and watch to see where he goes. I'm not saying that you should pay whatever it costs and things like that, but you should at least be doing due diligence on it. And maybe Green Bay did make an offer. Maybe they didn't. It's a fun thing to think about. As I talked about the other day, sometimes this stuff is just good conjecture and it's just good for the soul. Talking about what Micah Parsons would look like as a Green Bay Packer, trade details, trade deals that could potentially go down. Those are fun things to talk about. And while I don't see it happening, sign me up for Micah Parsons in Green Bay if they found a way to make it work. Depending on the cost, of course, it would be exorbitant, both in assets and resources given up, but also in future salary cap space as well. But not many Micah Parsons out there. If he does become available, you know, Green Bay being the most likely high bidder is still also a far-fetched idea to me, but still fun to think about nonetheless. Meanwhile, as Green Bay's, you know, kind of depth on the offensive line maybe hasn't been quite as advertised, there's been a lot of people who have said, hey, why don't you just go out and sign Brandon Scherff? Like, he's still out there. He's a good, solid starting offensive lineman. Well, we found out today that Brandon Scherff is retired. He is retiring from the NFL, not playing anymore, and therefore Green Bay cannot go sign Brandon Scherff. I don't think they would have had a ton of interest anyway, unless there were injuries that were going to cause, you know, them to need probably a potential starter, which that takes a lot of injuries. But either way, he is in fact retired and will not be playing for Green Bay nor any other team this upcoming season. All right, let's get to Packers Colts. And before we do that, I have to give a huge, massive shout out to Wes Hodkowitz and Mike Spofford of Packers.com, Ryan Wood of PackersNews.com, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, and then James Boyd of The Athletic, who writes from a Colts side of things. I was not at practice. Every other episode, save for the one that Paul Breddle did, that we've talked about a Green Bay Packers practice this year, I was at. And so I am going based off of what I read from all five of them, what I saw on social media from them, what they wrote up in their articles. If there are no articles, if they're not doing the legwork in Indy, you and I are talking about something very different today than the Colts practice breakdown, because I would have nothing to go off of. So shout out Wes Hod, Mike Spofford, Ryan Wood, Matt Schneidman, and James Boyd. One of the first things that we found out from Matt LaFleur was about Jordan Love and his thumb. We also heard from Jordan after practice, and one of the big takeaways there is that he said he probably would not have done the surgery if it was during the season, and understandably so. He would have fought through. I've seen the, well, Brett Favre played with a broken thumb. Yeah, he did. There was a lot of Vicodin and painkillers involved in that. Number two, you know, I do think that if Jordan suffered the injury during the course of the season, he probably would have played through it as well. There also would have been potentially a couple different options. You've got that mini bye after Washington. If he played with it the first 2 weeks, he could have potentially done it right after that game on Friday, hopefully been back for the following Sunday. Or you do have a week five bye week as well. As soon as that Sunday game is done, you could have had the surgery done and hopefully been back a couple weeks later. This was the clearly smarter choice. You know, don't wait on it. If it's an issue, go get it fixed. So I think Jordan and company made the right decision here so that he can go into the season healthy, which is exactly what you want out of your star quarterback. And now he just needs to go out, get that thumb ready to go, and hopefully be out there at practice sooner rather than later. And, you know, Jordan did say he expects to be out there next week. He said he'd miss a couple days, and Matt echoed it as well, basically saying that the hope remains that they are going to be able to get him out there some point next week. And if that's the case, should just be good to go. No real need to dwell on it any further. Yes, he's got the left thumb injury. He had surgery on it. He was in a cast. It's going to heal, and then things are going to be better. And that's exactly what you want to hear after a surgery update yesterday that still seems a little bit surreal. As far as injury updates go, we talked about at practice the other day how Luke Musgrave and LVN were down for a little bit and kind of walked off gingerly. Both of those two players were practicing, no issues whatsoever. So that's a great sign. Israel Abanaconda returned to practice. And then you had a variety of players who did not practice, including Romeo Doubs, who did not practice with that back issue. Now, Matt said in his presser that he was up until right before he went on the podium where he spoke to somebody that said, actually, Romeo's not going to practice. He thought that Romeo was going to practice and therefore, again, is not taking this as something that's going to be long-term for Romeo, which is a very good sign. Other players that did not practice include Jordan Love, Zane Anderson, Xavier McKinney, Jaden Reed, who is out of the walking boot, so that's a good sign. Dontavian Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, and John Williams. As far as a practice goes, when you're going against Indianapolis in a joint practice and they're playing with their ones on defense, missing your starting quarterback and four of your top five wide receivers is not exactly what you wanted to see. Now, Matt Schneidman, I think it was, tweeted out a picture of Doubs, Reed, Wicks, and Watson, I think, walking out all together, not able to practice. And it's just like the walking wounded. It's crazy to see, you know, insert whatever, you know, injured meme you want to in that situation. It was jarring to see all those weapons just not being able to practice. And imagine going into the year, and again, this is not going to be the case, but imagine this was a game, a true game, you know, to go into this one with just Golden, Hardman, and Heath, that would be a pretty tall task. And then, of course, Malik Willis at quarterback. So some big names missing. And as you can imagine, it very much affects Green Bay's offense in this particular joint practice. All right, for our Luigi's Pizza player of practice, I'm not even going to player. I'm going two coaches. DeMarcus Covington and Jeff Hafley, to me, were the big story here. LVN sack, Rashawn Gary sack, Colby Wooden sack, Quay Walker sack, Tyron Hopper sack, LVN sack, Brenton Cox sack, Baron Sorrell sack, Carl Brooks potential sack. Like, that is crazy, crazy, crazy pressure. By Ryan Wood, or I should say by Ryan Wood's account, the final damage and tally on the day, this was his tweet, and I'm quoting it here, quote, final damage for Packers defense against Colts, 10 sacks, 4 takeaways, and at least 3 tackles for loss. He did say that the Colts had a touchdown in the 2-minute period, which was their only highlight. They also had a red zone period of 22 plays, and the Packers allowed just 1 touchdown on a 3-yard run. On the other 21 red zone plays, they did not allow anything, which is fairly remarkable. Of course, if you haven't checked out luigispizza.com yet, make sure to check it out over there. Follow Luigi's Pizza on social media as well. They're going to be supporting us. We're going to be supporting them all season long. We cannot thank that partnership enough. Go out and check out. Get your Luigi's frozen pizzas. If you're, what are we even doing if you're eating any other frozen pizzas and you're in a Luigi's market? You're just doing it the wrong way. So make sure to go check them out. And it doesn't even matter what kind you get because they are all incredibly delicious. I'm still telling you, Luigi's, I can't do the black olives. I'm sorry. I love you to death, but that's the one I can't do. All their other ones are chef kiss phenomenal. Make sure you're going and checking that out. All right, play of the day. It was a reception by Adonai Mitchell, and then Javon Bullard stripped the ball out. Evan Williams recovered, and that was just kind of the day that it was. That was my play of the day because they actually showed that one on tape. I actually got to see that one from somebody who posted, I think it was the Packers who posted it on their social account. So that's the one I'm going with because I actually got to see it. And it was a very nice strip by Javon Bullard and a nice recovery by Evan Williams. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
All right, players of the day. Matthew Golden. By all accounts, Matthew was roasting corners out there, including Tre'Varius Ward. Now, a couple of those that you saw posted online, if you saw them, were one-on-ones. One-on-ones are ridiculously slanted to the offense, you know, so I'm not going to take too much of that, but by every account, he was having success against the corners in team activities as well. Sam Munson pointed out how great that he looked separating from the Colts corners, and he was out there at joint practice. So great to hear that, and not a surprise. He's been tearing it up at practice and continues to impress even while going against the Colts at joint practice. LVN continues to stack success. He had a sack versus Raymond, which is exactly what you were hoping for. Also, they posted the other day a LVN little like mic'd up segment and showed some of his plays and just seen some different moves from LVN, which has me very excited about that as well. Had another sack later in the day. By all accounts, was one of the absolute best players that was out there at practice for Green Bay. The Colts offense is not very good. Their offensive line is pretty terrible, but Raymond's good. Braden Smith is good. And hearing sacks from LVN coming from that edge position is exactly what you want to hear. We talked about it the other day. Nobody's crowning LVN until we see it in the actual game, but he has had a fantastic training camp. And hopefully he can carry that over into the season because Green Bay really, really needs it. And shout out again to DeMarcus Covington for having this defensive line ready to go and dominating Indy's front. Now, To be fair, Green Bay last year dominated Baltimore's offensive line in joint practices, so much so that Jim Harbaugh gave the Packers defensive front a huge shout out, and then that did not carry over into the season. So just because it's happening now at joint practices is not necessarily proof of concept that they're ready to go and are going to dominate this upcoming year, but it's better than the alternative where they're not doing anything against a crappy Colts offensive line. I love to see that they are attacking, they're aggressive, and that it's their front line and linebackers too that are dominating and causing a ton of chaos for the opposing offense. So kudos again to this defense, the defensive front, et cetera, and really kind of led by LVN. Keyshawn Nixon had an interception off of a Rashawn Gary pressure. Love to hear that. Apparently that was one that kind of went through Adonai Mitchell's hands. Nixon was there to clean it up with the pick. Jonathan Baldwin had an interception off of Anthony Richardson. Continues to be a wild roller coaster for the Colts with Anthony Richardson. Always some good, always some bad. You just never know what you're going to get. On this particular day, you got an interception to Jonathan Baldwin, of all people. Then Isaiah Nair. Isaiah Nair, these are always like the interesting ones where like you pick up this random guy with like a couple weeks left of camp and you're like, why would I even care? There's no chance for him to make the team. Some of these things have happened, you know, in the past for Green Bay. Usually they're special teams related. I'm not making an argument for Isaiah Nair to make the 53, but he might be getting himself in that practice squad conversation. He laid out the other day at practice for a big catch, and apparently during Colts joint practices had two really impressive catches from Taylor Algersma, who apparently was one of the quarterbacks that was able to connect on a couple things, and Isaiah Nair was involved in one of those. I think the other one was from Malik Willis. So kudos to Nair for coming in very short notice and already showing some of what he can do. Whether that's something long-term that can develop, that remains to be seen, but a good start to the, you know, week that he's been here basically for Isaiah Nair. Some other plays of note, Israel Abanaconda apparently had a very nice cutback run. You love to hear that. Isaiah Simmons had an interception off of Daniel Jones, and by all accounts, Isaiah Simmons had a very nice day. Taylor Algersma had a couple big completions to Nair, as we talked about, and then Julian Hicks for a touchdown, and then drops. You're going to be shocked. Drops apparently reared their ugly head again. Malik Heath, Chris Brooks, Josh Jacobs, Will Shepard all had various drops throughout the course of practice. Not exactly what you want to hear. Special teams-wise, Brandon McManus, 5 of 5. McNamee was 3 of 3, so they were 8 of 8 on the day. And then McManus apparently also just kind of kicking off to the side. Guess he had a little bit of wind with him. Hit a 70-yard field goal off the crossbar and in. That's incredible. And I know we just saw one with Cam Little, 70-yarder the other day for Jacksonville, but for McManus, I mean, we know he's got a big leg. That is an incredible kick. And I know it wasn't, again, with like team or a rush or anything like that. He was just off to the side trying some stuff and he made a 70-yarder. That's still pretty freaking sweet that you can kick it that far to get it in, much less have the accuracy to go along with it. That's the type of heater that Brandon McManus is on at the moment. As much as the defense dominated, I'm going to read those Ryan Wood stats one more time. It was, let's see, 10 sacks, 4 takeaways, and at least 3 tackles for loss with very, you know, limited and minimal damage that were given up overall by Green Bay's defense. The offense struggled, which you can imagine, you know, with missing Jordan Love plus 4 of your wide receivers, 4 of your top 5 wide receivers. That's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. And the offense went through it for the day by all accounts. And, you know, it's interesting that while that's expected, there's still some things that for Tucker Kraft, at least, were not acceptable. These were quotes from Tucker Kraft, quote, "Some of our youth showed a lot. When we're out there, the importance is knowing what to do and doing it at a really fast speed at a very consistent level. So our youth showed a little bit in some instances with the injuries that we have on our depth chart." All right, he went on to say, "We left some meat on the bone. We were doing a good job competing, but we know the level that we expect to play at, and we didn't empty the tank." So Tucker Kraft not happy with the offense's performance. It feels to me like he's kind of calling out some of the younger wide receivers for maybe not knowing some of the route concepts and things like that as they're, you know, getting a little bit more opportunity with the starters out. Yay, if it's there, call it out. And I love that leadership from Tucker Kraft. And hopefully they can have a better offensive performance in the preseason game coming up this Saturday. That could be a very low scoring game. We'll see. The Colts offense does not look good. This Colts team does not look great. And, you know, on offense for, you know, Green Bay, you're missing so many players that it's really going to be a difficult task to put up much points whatsoever. Eventually, when you get against the twos and the threes, you're going to have to make something happen. You know, spoiler, I do think Green Bay has a chance to come away with this one, but Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, we'll see who they start at quarterback and if, you know, both those guys play, but they do have the ability to play both of those quarterbacks. And if so, despite them, you know, both not being great, they're both kind of starting, at least starting-ish caliber quarterbacks that you could see for a good chunk of this game. Defense was ready. They were set. They brought the intensity. I love that for them. Love that for Jeff Hafley, DeMarcus Covington up front. Now the offense needs to match that and go out and beat the Colts this upcoming Saturday. That's all I got for today. Not surprising that the defense was dominant. Not surprising that the offense couldn't get much going without a lot of their weapons and Jordan Love. Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that in season. The weapons should be getting, you know, pretty close to back. And then, you know, Jordan Love will be back next week. Hopefully those weapons are, you know, just Dobbs and everyone back sooner rather than later. I'd love to see an update on Wicks coming up here as well, but they're going to need those guys going into the year, of course, and the sooner they can get them back working on that rhythm and timing, the better. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.